going Captain after the Courageous. Gopher.
I've heard
they
of that one.
End with the gopher is the best scene.
The Wizard of Oz.
Kenny Loggins, beginning of his reign of TV's or movies themes for the 80s.
Never seen it.
Caddyshack?
Never seen it.
That's all right.
It's an older one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Murray's
Chevy Chase.
Doing the.
He got his attention.
It is a stupid comedy, but it's a fun, stupid comedy.
I heard Bill Murray and stupid, and I was like, what? No. Hold on.
I'm Dane G. Kroll, author of Black Friday, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Another episode of Comic Pop License to Read, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Michelle,
and Jonathan,
Jacob,
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at the book The 101 Most Influential Coming of Age Movies by Ryan Itoeilingen. And I apologize, Ryan, if I butchered your name, but wow, you got a mouthful for last name. So
Okay, wait a second. Why would you start with me on the introductions?
Because you're the first one.
Yeah, you took the comfy chair. You have to start.
Yeah, it's basically on. Is that clockwise?
Counterclockwise.
Counterclockwise. Goofy clockwise.
For anybody that needs a visual, here we're going counterclockwise. Yeah.
Back to the topic.
But his book is published by Algora Publishing, and it came out in April of 2016. It is available at Amazon and probably other jobbers as well if you want to look for them there. Ryan is a writer of screenplays, newscasts, commercials, and articles on film, and he is using his knowledge and passion and putting it to paper as he's showcasing the best films of his favorite genre, the coming-of-age movies. It covers movies like Shirley Temple's The Little Princess, The Breakfast Club, Almost Famous, and other contemporary takes. So we're going to be looking at the book. We're going to be kind of talking about the structures of the book and then get into a little bit of the movies, because some of them everybody will know, some of them won't, but we're not going to go through all 101. Sorry, guys.
That would be forever and ever.
Yes. And Ryan comes to us from Vancouver, and he did send this to us. He contacted us and wanted us to look at his book. So we appreciate that, Ryan, for letting us do this for you. One of the things, it was a digital book that he sent to us, so we did not actually get to see the physical book. So some of the things I'm going to are on assumptions. And we're hoping we can get Ryan on at a later date and actually get some concrete information about the book as well. But to start off with the structure of the book, he basically begins with the different decades, starting from the 20s, moving forward to the 2010s. Doesn't he go all the way through the 2010s?
He has the last one. 2010s. The 101 is 2015.
Yep. Right, so 2010s.
And 96 is
decade of 2010s. So he covers a very wide range, pretty much the beginning of the cinema, which is silent movies, and he begins with that.
Yeah.
And
Poor little rich girl.
A silent movie on TV.
Yes, you did.
The other night. I actually watched it.
It was a different experience.
I made him watch it.
You made him watch it.
He makes me watch sports things.
Yes, I do sometimes. But yes, the 1920s, we only had, well, actually, that's pre-1920, so I guess it kind of starts a little bit before it's actually 1917, as Poor Little Rich Girl, like Logan said. And it's told through the eyes of a child. And he says this is the beginning of the coming of age movies. So, and it's centering around parental abandonment. And a lot of these things, I recognize some of these movies, but it's not necessarily the original movie. It's the remakes. So some of these we're not going to know a whole lot about. Jacob's more of the movie guy. Jonathan's a little bit more of the movie guy. And even some of these, like I said, they're a little bit older and harder to find, probably.
Yeah.
So it might be interesting.
And for taking the title of, quote, the movie guy, this book showed me how much of a movie guy I am not.
You just Ditto. Thought.
Yes. Ditto.
It's like, yeah, I know movies. Okay, take a look at this.
Nope.
Not a clue. No. I'm like looking at this list, and I'm like, I don't know this one. I don't know this one. I don't know this one. I don't know that.
It's one of those where it's in my queue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go with that. As soon as Netflix gets it, I'm all over it.
Netflix and doesn't have and any then we of the get movies to, I like, want to see.
Number 12 on the list. Oh, yeah, I know that one.
Wizard of Oz.
Yep, Wizard of Oz.
I've at least seen the case to two different versions of number 11 over there.
No, wait, you've heard of number 8.
Little Princess.
Number 8.
Little Women. And yeah. You've heard of number 9.
No, I've never heard of Captain.
Captain's Courageous?
I've never heard of that.
It's like one of the big books on the reading list.
Yeah, I've never heard of
movies.
It. Never read
movies.
It.
We don't read.
I don't
books.
Care, but it's saved the title.
Even though this is a book.
We don't read.
So, you know, the name of a book. Did. We're not sure if it's that same movie and book.
And then I go down, and I'm like, I don't know 13. Oh, Bambi. Yes, I know that one.
Yeah, you know, the great Bambi.
The very
Meet
Bambi.
Me in St. Louis. You've heard that song.
But, right. And he has a mixture of stuff. He has anime. Yeah. He has musicals. He has dramas, comedies. So it's a very wide mixture. He does have some stuff that is not on there. That's a little surprising. We'll get into that a little bit later. But the structure of the book is, like I said, he starts out the beginning of the chapter with a synopsis of the whole decade.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And roughly what's kind of important.
What's happening.
Attitudes. Kind of what's happening. Not necessarily current events, but what's happening in the movie industry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And in the lives of teens, too.
Right, the lives of teens. Okay, so the current events of that time for teens, I guess, so that we'll cover that. Mm-hmm. And then he goes into the list that he has within that decade, and he gives a brief synopsis of all of them and all the details for each one.
And he does a fairly good job of making the movie's descriptions entertaining. It's kind of like a brief glimpse of behind the scenes that isn't long enough to get, okay, we've seen this a dozen other times in a dozen other movies.
I have a question.
True.
Number 19, Bicycle Thieves.
That is an Italian movie.
I know. Is that a precursor to Fast and Furious?
No, it's not. Afraid not. But yeah, a lot of these.
I like that. From I love that.
Yeah, 20s, 30s. Well, 30s, you start getting into some of the stuff I know. Little Women, I do know. Little Princess, I did grow up watching some Shirley Temples. And then Wizard of Oz, not multiple Shirley Temples, but
I like to drink Shirley
Temples. Her movies. You like Shirley Temples?
I don't think it's that kind of Shirley Temple.
Ryan might be able to mix one up for you when we're talking.
Be virgin Shirley Temple.
So some of these are going to be movies that people aren't familiar with. Which is fine, because that gives you something to go back and look at and see what it's like. National Velvet, almost everybody knows that. Even if they haven't watched it, they kind of know it a
little
bit. Girl
with a Horse. That's in a competition.
There's a horse movie with, I don't know.
Okay, that's all you need to know.
And then Miracle on 34th Street, that's one of the classics. Yeah. Most everybody knows that Christmas story, even though, to my surprise, it wasn't brought out at Christmas, the way I remember the description.
Oh, really?
It was brought out because I didn't think it would make, and then they re-released it at Christmas time.
Oh, cool.
Because it did better than what they expected.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a unique twist. And as like Michelle said, Bicycle Thieves, it is an Italian film, so that shows that there's different types of foreign films mixed within here. But just going through some of these, most people, if they don't know it, Rebel Without a Cause. That's almost a standard. Even if you haven't watched it, you've pretty much
heard of
it.
I've heard of the title. I've never watched it.
You know, so yeah. Right. Most people have heard title at least.
Else?
He died. He with he only died, three movies.
Yeah, he died shortly after that. All one, right. Yeah.
So this was his one.
And this was, I think he had three.
Yeah.
Three or four. Four at most.
Three.
Was a three okay?
I.
Because he talks about that in the movie. And I in think the movie. He talks about that in the book as well.
Well, I think if I remember right, at least two James Dean movies, maybe all three of them show up on in this list.
When in doubt, Google it.
Because isn't East of Eden one of his two?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Ooh. Okay. I'm trying to remember. Blackboard Jungle, that nope. is one that was. Portier, wasn't he the star for that one? Sydney, if I remember right, Sidney Poitier, if I remember right.
I think so.
I got a detail.
So, some of these are going to be stuff. Old Yeller's a classic. Yep. If you've owned a dog and watched Old Yeller, you've cried your eyes out.
Mm-hmm. No.
But to me, I kind of get a little bit more within the 60s. I get to see a little bit more. But there was one from the 20s that I didn't realize. I recognize the name, but it's a remake, and that's The Jazz Singer, and I just remember Neil Diamond's remake of it. It's basically the same movie, just
that's why,
Neil Diamond and with his music that's featured within that remake.
Mm-hmm. And this was back in the transitioning from silent to movies with sound, yep. which would be the opposite of silent movies.
It's true.
So yeah. I looked it up. There are three James Dean movies.
Okay. Yeah, he was one of those that he died really fast. He burnt bright and fast, you would say.
Didn't he die in a car accident?
Yeah, he did.
So was there a pun intended?
No, it's just...
Now there is?
Now there is.
Now there is.
Good job.
Some of these, like I said, if you don't recognize them, don't feel bad. Some of them you should. West Side Story.
Maria. Yeah. Was that the...
Jets and the Sharks, yeah.
You've seen musical. It twice with April.
Probably.
Yeah.
It was
the Inner clicking. City Gangs.
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet.
Different yeah. version of Romeo and Juliet. That
which still wants me to hit both of them.
English teacher was kind of screwing up, fusing no. with the book somehow, and it was weird.
No.
Yeah, your English teacher probably
no,
did
that was April's.
Yep, that was April.
No, this was kind of a Romeo and Juliet, but it was all set around... you're thinking of Leonardo DiCaprio's version that she talked about of the Romeo and Juliet remake.
Because I remember her English teacher had them read part of the Romeo and Juliet, then watch what I thought was West Side Story, and then try to do a thing that was the test.
Oh, I don't know about that then.
Huh. Yeah.
But April, you have to kill a mockingbird. Yeah, it's classic. If some of the librarians out there should have read the book as well. If you're a librarian or a lover of books, you probably read that as well.
Or have taken freshman English.
I never read it in English.
And Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Mary
Poppins is on here. So Junk Book.
You skipped ahead.
Bare Necessities. Yeah, I'm just kind of skipping around. Saying
Bye Bye
movies.
Birdie. I remember that one.
I do not.
Clockwork Orange is on here.
Well, I've read the book and seen the movie. Yeah. You've read the book, Logan, or part of it.
I read the first few chapters and then went, okay, what?
Yeah, it's a pretty rough story.
Yeah, it is. I basically could not.
What one are you talking about?
Clockwork Orange. I mean, like, throughout the whole book, like, it's a heavy Cockney type. Writing, the accent is heavy. Cockney.
Well, the accent was fine. It was just the
very violent and depraved.
See, yeah. For me, it was... I couldn't
like your horror
Cockney.
Movies nowadays?
No, it's mm-hmm. just the... I never got the why reasoning of the character itself.
That's a good thing.
Probably.
Jumping around a little bit more, everybody knows Willy Wonka and the yep. Chocolate Factory.
Okay.
Back from 71. Carrie is actually on here, which yeah. kind of surprised me.
I love
me.
That movie. What? That's 76. One of my favorite that is, movies.
Yeah. That is just automatically, especially it's for title, is coming of age.
It kind yeah. of surprised me, though, because... Well, horror I mean, movie you don't actually think of a coming of age for as a horror movie.
And, right. In a way, it kind of is, and in a way, it kind of isn't. You know, it's just like the way that it's mine.
She's the one that does this stuff. She probably knows.
Keep going.
I lost my train of thought now. Thank you, Michelle.
In a way, it
That's
was. In a way, it wasn't.
Song to this podcast.
Okay, so in a way, it was, and in a way, it wasn't. I kind of agree where he's coming from with it, you know, with the whole tampon thing and then the whole college thing, and then...
No, there's no college. It's just high school.
I mean, the high school prom. Thing. Like the, you know what I meant.
Yeah.
It's prom, I believe.
Yeah, the prom thing. And it's I see where he's coming from with that.
I thought his
it's
main...
It's a horror movie. What do you expect out of me?
Yeah, but that's a classic Keen.
I could care less.
Oh, really?
I've never seen the original Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th.
Well, see, that so, kind of classify that as more of a slasher than a horror.
Yeah, it's still scary.
But this is more of a coming of age because it's
well,
because the angst of high school.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sounds great. Wonderful. He had it mainly in there as the, this is the representative. This is the representation of all those times when you just wanted to crush and destroy those bullies in your high school life.
And I see where he's coming from there too. So I think that it's a good choice for his list.
Speaking
that's just
of,
my opinion.
Of that Ferris Bueller.
It's on here.
Who
it's
wants to
here.
Hit him?
Why?
Because he gets away with everything. I'm his sister. I just want to hit him.
Just got to save Ferris.
True. But the 70s was, the 80s was a very big decade of teen movies, and he's got a big section within that is the 80s, and I don't blame
56
him.
56 to yeah. 70.
My favorite movie on this whole list is The Outsiders. I love that movie. I love the book. Love the movie.
Is that a bunch of kids walking along a railroad tracks?
No, that's a Stand By Me.
Oh, okay.
That's also on the list.
Also on that's on the list as well. Yeah. But we have Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Footloose is really big. Karate Kid. 16 Karate Candles, 16 which is John Hughes. John Hughes is big.
Molly Ringwald, right?
Molly Ringwald. Breakfast Club's there. Ferris Bueller, we've mentioned.
I think Molly Ringwald was in the Breakfast Club as well.
I think
correct?
She had, maybe two years of movies, and that was it.
And now she's pretty much...
She was on a TV show.
I liked most of the Breakfast Club, except for the part where they gave the one gal the makeover thing.
Well, except for it was all a lie, because you know the next day they were not going to talk to each other.
That's because it was Sunday.
True. That it was.
It was. They all went to church.
Yeah. And then when we get into the 90s, that's where I kind of drop off a little bit. But I have seen some of these, but Sandlot, I think I've seen that. Clerks, Clueless.
Never seen Clerks. I've seen Clueless.
American Pie. Oh, my gosh.
I know
we
have it in the house. I don't think I've actually watched it, but meh.
That's why who could watch it after listening to the song?
And then...
April might have watched it, but I'm not sure.
In the 2000s, we have a Japanese anime on here.
Spirited Away. Yep.
He mentioned a few of the other ones by him. But
right, but that's the only one that he keyed on. And Napoleon Dynamite's on here.
God,
Pan's
I
Labyrinth,
hated that movie.
Juno, Persepolis is another animated one. And then we get into the teens, Perks of Being a Wallflower. It's about the author's life in Iran before she... Khomeini came into power.
That seems kind of a serious one.
It is. But so a lot of these B-movies, you'll recognize some of the earlier ones. You will not. Some of the ones that I was kind of surprised, and he did mention them a little bit in the breakdowns at the beginning. And some of those, the one I really liked, I think it was from the 80s, if not 90s, and that was The Heathers. And this is one what starred,
Heather went blank.
Was it Winona Ryder?
Is that?
And,
I would not have watched that one.
Oh God, he's got that real strange voice.
I don't blame you.
The lead character, golly,
guy or girl?
A guy, Christian Slater.
There he is. Yeah,
was the lead male in it, and basically, it's another one kind of like Carrie. It's one of those where you're just fed up with the school, you're fed up with being bullied, and at the end they just pretty much just blow up the school.
Spoiler
alert.
In this day and age, you probably would not be able to get away with that, but...
Yeah. And I wouldn't have watched it
anyway.
Did you
see any dead bodies in that?
I don't think so. I think you just saw the explosions. But it was one of those where very dark humor. Very dark humor. But a lot of these... are ones where I would have to say are decent, that the ones that I've seen, the ones that I haven't seen, I cannot actually say. But the way he breaks it down, like Logan said, it's really easy to follow what they were trying to convey for that time period, how the movie industry grew with the teen movies being more and more in the mainstream. But I still think the 80s was probably the biggest decade for him.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's what, I mean, the 80s is known for really two things. Teen, you know, Brat Pack movies and Arnold and Sylvester Stallone blowing things up.
Oh, yes. So can't get away from Arnie and Chuck Norris.
Really
why would
music.
You want to?
So what is the purpose of the book? Is it just historical, social explanation, or...
It's just a historical overview of what he thinks are the best movies that he has seen and likes. And it has the historical plus the sociology.
101 most influential coming-of-age movies up to...
2015?
Yeah. Well, Inside Out.
Yeah, it ends with Inside Out.
Yeah.
So, and
which I've not seen.
You haven't? Because we've watched it at the house before.
I haven't. You and April might have watched it, but I haven't.
I haven't either.
Is that the one where Lewis Black runs around as the little guy in the head that is anger?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen it.
But this is one that, like I said, we got a PDF for this, so Ryan, we appreciate that. But this is one I have not seen the actual book to know how it's structured. Because on the PDF, it just runs straight through pretty much. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if he has photography of the movie posters or stuff like that, or just from the scenes. But if he doesn't, I'd be shocked if he does, because the price is around $20 for this book. So I would say if he does have some of the pictures, it's very minimal, if at all.
Probably be black and white, not color.
Right, black and white costs are involved, but also with color and black and white, but also getting all the copyrights. Mm-hmm. Trying to get all those tracked down and getting permission. So I'm sure if there is anything, it's very limited.
Maybe one per decade.
Possibly. I don't know. Like I said, hopefully we can get Ryan on and talk about it.
Cover.
Some of the other stuff that, you know, one of the big influences that are kind of the teen movies for the, was it the 2000s, mm-hmm. that all the kids grew up with, and I think he did mention it in the synopsis, was the Harry Potter films.
Yep.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, was that on here?
No.
No, it was not.
He missed the bucket.
And basically all it is for Harry Potter is just following the life and growing up and the growing pains of growing up.
Yep.
And like I said, I think he mentions it in the decade description, but he doesn't break it down, because I think it's because it's so just well known. Mm. But again, it's kind of like, you can't almost not have that on there to me, because, as I said, so many kids grew up with those actors at the same time.
Yeah.
So that was a heavy influence on that generation. For me, not quite as much. I think it was past Jacob, and I think all of our times for the most part, maybe not Logan, is kind of around
your age. I grew up with Harry Potter, so.
Not at the same age, though.
Not at the same age, but like...
So it wasn't
high school or not.
It was a community. I think it was out.
No, I think it started in grade school. I believe it started in grade school.
For you?
Yeah. Oh,
wow. How old do you think he is?
He's old.
It's true. How about the Never Ending Story? Is it on there?
It's not on there, but that's another one that could be placed on there very easily. Mm-hmm. It's
Is that the one with the dog dragon thing?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying.
I've seen that. Dude!
What do you watch, Jacob?
Nothing, apparently.
But in general, like I said, I mentioned a couple that I didn't see. Some of the ones that you guys think of, and we just reviewed one that could easily slip into here. Go ahead, Logan.
Barely Lethal, I think.
Yep, Barely Lethal. About. Barely Lethal is one that could be a coming of age. No, they're not. They're high school.
Oh, okay.
Their high school age. But is there any, Jacob or Jonathan, that you can think of that were teen movies that were big in your time that he didn't slip in here? That you were like, what?
Not that I can think of, no.
Wow. I would want his explanation as to why St. Elmo's Fire doesn't make it, but it's been a long time since I've seen that, so maybe it doesn't quite fit the criteria of coming
in. Is that the racer, the runner?
No, that's a hospital, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen it, I'd have to go back and rewatch it. But it's also considered in that, I guess, in that Brat Pack. It's got a bunch of them in it. And so it was one of those, like,
era. Okay,
yeah, it kind of just on principle fits in, but I could be wrong.
Harry Potter actually came out in 1998, so I would have been in fourth or fifth grade.
Okay, so you did grow up with him.
So I did grow up with him.
I thought you were older when it came out.
I would have been three.
So you were a little too young. So you grew up with them. So
the first movie what came year? Out in 2001.
1998. So I was born in 1995. I was
in middle Wasn't school.
I? That's a long time ago. So that seems quite early for Harry Potter.
It's because we haven't been able to get away from it.
Pretty That's much.
True. You were just waiting to slip that in.
Oh, yeah. Trust me.
But does it have that resonance with you since you grew up with it?
Yeah, I agree with the whole, you know, growing up with him, going through what he went through. So I understand where he comes from when he says in that book. So, yeah, I agree with that.
And like I said, I think he left it out because it was so popular.
No Star Wars.
No, he mentioned it.
I mean, gee.
And he may have like
the gaining his independence,
right? And he may have the
spreading his wings and flying.
Yeah, and I read through a lot of synopses and a lot of decade stuff, and so I may just space it off. But you know, Luke Skywalker does come of age in Episode 4.
Just true, saying. It is technically
Episode 4.
We're not calling it A New Hope.
You just did. Oh no!
No, I refuse.
Indiana Jones.
He's not here.
Well, the TV series Young Indiana Jones would work about.
But maybe the most recent one too. Maybe the most recent one too, because that one was about his son partially as well.
God, the one
to
with,
a degree.
With the aliens.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But he kind of did that because he was emulating the time frames, the age of the Indiana Jones, and what was popular in cinema at that time.
Okay, wait a second.
So yeah. the space alien theme, because the 50s was big on the alien monster theme.
Oh, I know.
So and I think that was why they did that theme. Otherwise, I don't see why they would have done it. That's the only thing I think of. I enjoyed it because I kind of like that type of stuff. But for an Indiana Jones movie.
It just didn't.
Harry Potter, the movie?
Yeah, that's the movie.
You're talking about books?
It just didn't make,
I was talking about the books. The books came out in 1998.
Oh, I didn't pay attention to them until 2001 when the movies came out. I apologize, Jacob. My bad.
I said the movies came out in 2001.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, Jacob.
I was still in shock when he said 98. Sorry. Jacob, I apologize.
No, I'm good.
Right. Too many computers with Google on them. Go ahead, Jacob.
No, I was just going to trash the last Indiana Jones movie.
Any last movie in a series you can trash?
Return of the Jedi?
That's not the last movie
not
in
anymore,
a series.
Not anymore, but it was.
The a, lot Force of people didn't, a lot of people didn't like the Ewoks, you have to admit.
Well, I mean,
that was also a movie in the series, wasn't it?
What's that?
The Ewoks. That was also a movie in the series, wasn't it?
No, that was TV movies.
Yeah, and those are terrible.
But that was called producers getting desperate.
No, that was called cash grabbing.
Yeah.
Kind of like Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
I love that movie. I thought it was a good movie.
Harry Potter. Shut up, I've not seen them. Spoilers.
Yeah. It's
Why
it's
would we care
wonderful.
About spoilers?
It's fantastic. It's just
and when did you go and not holler at us?
I just went.
Of course.
It's okay.
You want to go see Rogue One?
Yeah.
Okay. When do you want to go?
When are we going to go see Rogue One?
No, I'm not asking.
Maybe on Friday.
You want to brave all of the people on Friday? Okay, let's
probably
go.
Probably not.
Oh, you're
probably
not. Let's do it. Yeah.
No. But anyway, we've gotten off topic here for Ryan. Let's jump back into here.
Midnight opening.
Let's jump back into this. I think all of us have been at a midnight opening.
Yeah.
I'm sure Ryan has as well.
No, I have not that I can recall. Unless I was extremely.
The one thing I do like about the way the book is organized is that it's not in a. This is the best, most influentialist time. It's by decade, and then inside the decade, it's chronologically listed. So that's why you know with a lot of books, you end up with that. Oh, you know, these are the 101. Yeah, and then right, and then you end up with a book. You know, the number one, and everybody wants to complain about. Well, this should have been in the top 10. Well, that shouldn't be number one. But with this, it's just like we can say that, you know, why, you know, you can ask why certain books didn't make, or movies didn't make it, but.
Yeah, you can't complain about their placing.
No.
And he constantly, is in the introduction, he does say, you know, this is my views. He doesn't say this is end all.
I did not research.
So it's one of those where it's just his thoughts, and this is his love, his movies, and he just loves this genre, so I'd be interested to see some of the stuff going forward. Again, some of the smaller movies, like we said, Barely Lethal. Yeah, Barely Lethal. Yeah. Has he, you know, that one could be, you know, what's some of the criteria? I kind of wonder. He's kind of all over the place, but which is fine because I'm kind of all over the place.
Mom, do you remember which one?
This podcast has been kind of all over the place.
True.
You say that, I think Barely Legal.
That's, well, it's a play on those words.
Play on the words, but okay. But that Spy Academy for Girls thing, she decides to drop out by dropping into a river and going into a...
Yes, gotcha.
Yeah. The school. So that's one that from the newer decades. And the smaller independent films, I'm wondering if he's looking at some of the smaller independent films and maybe he might revise something. Because the bad thing about this type of book is that it's almost out of date as soon as you print it.
Right.
Yeah.
So in this regards, but in a sense, it might also be a good one because you can sell the updates.
Oh, yeah.
Second edition, updated for the new day.
Well, how many times has AFI redone their top 100 movies of all time?
True. Yeah.
And somehow Citizen Kane is still at the top.
Yeah. And the way this was written was easy to read as well. Mm-hmm. It wasn't bogged down or boring like Logan was saying and Jacob, you were saying with the
got all the neat little facts. Like one of the, I think it might have been Captain Courageous, but not sure. One of the earlier ones, that building or front of a building falls down and you go through the gap. Apparently that was first done by a guy who was slightly suicidal.
I don't know. He wasn't suicidal. It was just that they didn't have stunt people really at that time. And they,
no safety precautions.
Well, no safety actually, precautions.
Actually, he specifically mentioned that the guy was somewhat suicidal in the synopsis, at least.
I don't remember that, but... Well, we'll have to ask Ryan if he'll be nice enough to come on for us. But yes, I do remember that where the side of the building fell and the window went right over his body perfectly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was... No, it went right over his body, the window.
Oh, okay.
And the wall surrounded him. And it just, you know, if he would have been off any direction just a little, he would have been hurt. Mm-hmm. So that's
sure
what Logan's talking about.
For that one.
No, this was back in the day. This was, I think, he's Captain Courageous.
Sarcasm.
It was just, woo. So, yeah, he has those fun facts in there, some of the quotes from the movies as well. So, in this regards, you could give this to pretty much anybody that's off the street, even. And I think they would be able to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be a sit down and read straight through per se.
But it's not dry. It's
It's not dry. But this is a book that you can take, read a little bit, put it down, come back, read a little bit more. Because the way it's built, it's done in short segments, which is kind of nice for nonfiction because it can get dry. So if you're at a point where you're like, okay, that enough for now, I'll pick it back up tomorrow. It's not going to hinder the flow of what he's trying to do. The only time it might is if you're within a decade, maybe. Yeah. That might kind of throw you a little bit. But even that, once you get into the newer stuff and you know the movies more, I think it'll flow even better. And you really relive some of the movies, too, in your head a little bit. So, because Dazed and Confused is on there. But not Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I don't know. But anyway, but this is one definitely, if you're a movie buff, I think you would enjoy this one. And you'll find some new movies to possibly go out and look at, especially the older ones. If you're just a, you know, a general browser, this will be a fairly nice, concise book. I think it's only like 150 pages, I believe, 160. So it's real concise, real easy to read for even just the browsing reader. So this is one for smaller libraries. I think it depends on your circ and who is actually interested in it. If you have a strong movie checkout, you might put it with your movie so people will see it and they might actually look at it. But the larger libraries, definitely this could be one that could be slid in really easily. And it's not a price buster like some of the movie books are, especially the oversized coffee table ones that do this and do have the nice fancy pictures that are usually around $50 or more. So that in itself is kind of nice as well. Before we leave, I'll get a couple of emails and stuff wixed in here. We have some stuff. Nope, not that one. Sorry about that. We have Emmeline Much More. It's the name. I think this is her stage name, but we did a music review for her.
I'm really
curious. She appreciated with that for her single Solid. It's Emmeline Much More. And it might be her actual name, but it might be a stage name too, but I'm not sure. She says she appreciated us putting that out there. And Ben Delacour, we did a podcast for him, and he just wanted to send us a shout out. Says, thanks, y'all. Because we called his music country music. I don't know if he's digging us or what.
That was my bad.
But we had fun with Ben Delacour's music on the podcast. I'm sorry, we enjoyed Ben.
That was my bad.
But yeah, but that's all right.
I mean, that was my bad thing.
Right? So what kind of music?
No, it's not a bad thing. It was more country.
Red Dirtish.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, I claimed that it was country the whole time, so.
But that, I think, is going to do it for us. If you're interested in writing to us, you can get to us at our email at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. You can get to us on Facebook and Twitter. Just look up Comic Pop Library and you'll find us there. You can send us a tweet, like us, do all that good stuff. You'll get the updates when I post on the website and the podcast updates when I post them as well. We appreciate everybody that goes to the websites and listens to us, and we have fun doing that. So we hope you guys have fun doing this as well with us. We definitely been enjoying it. And as we leave out, one more time, I want to thank Ryan Itewellingen. He's the author of the 101 Most Influential Coming-of-Age Movies by Angoria Publishing. He sent this to us, so we appreciate Ryan doing that to us. We hope everybody will go out there, support him, especially if you love the movies. You'll definitely want to check out this book and see what you think of his list, and maybe, you know, see what you think, and maybe get in touch with him and see what he thinks about your suggestions as well. But we've been having fun. We've been, like Jacob said, kind of all over the place. So hopefully we'll have Ryan on so we can actually pick his brain about some of the movies and some of the ones he left off and go into the movies a little bit more. But like I said, we've been having fun. Hopefully you've been having fun out there. We'll see everybody on the flip side. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.
Zachos is big time.
Is it so hard?
Would
you like to go into business?
Are you sure this is a margarita?
Yeah. Gentlemen, may I present the new, not improved, but different, Laney Boggs. Laney! Laney Boggs, get your cute butt down here.
Swing, swing, swing the spinning step. You wear those shoes and I wear that dress. Oh.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.